Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. And so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." And so they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And so they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. And then the fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. During a morning worship service, Ellen noticed a nice-looking man sitting by himself on the back pew. As a single woman, she had a vested interest in meeting him. She approached him with an extended hand and said, "Hi, I'm Ellen." He took one look at her and bolted out the door without saying a word. The following Sunday, he returned to the church and he made this apology. He said, "My name is Bob Price, and I owe you an apology for my rude behavior last Sunday. You see, my deceased wife's name was Ellen, and I had been praying, 'Dear God, please send me another Ellen.' And when you approached me and said, 'Hi, I'm Ellen,' I lost it." Well, Bob and Ellen have now been married 12 years, and they are both very thankful for the way that God answered Bob's prayer. You know, Zacharias was also surprised when God answered his prayer. Something to remember that we've considered in these series of messages on prayer is that God will not bow His sovereignty to your will. God will not bow His sovereignty to your will. He will not decide what He's doing based upon what you would prefer, what we would like. He doesn't determine His agenda based upon our agenda. But how does God answer prayer? How does He answer prayer? Well, usually He answers prayer in ways that surprise us. And how is that? Well, the first thing I'd like to tell you about is that God answers later. God answers later. He always answers immediately, but sometimes later. What do you mean, Pastor? He always answers immediately, but sometimes later. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 14, the apostle writes these words. 1 John 5:14, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. Isaiah 65:24 says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." Well, let me tell you two things. Number one, the granting of the answer is immediate. The granting of the answer is immediate, but the giving of the answer may be delayed. The granting of the answer is immediate, but the giving of the answer may be delayed. It's kind of like If you're a parent, you can understand this. The child asks for something. You decide whether to agree with that, give that, say it's okay, or you decide not to. But then for reasons that you have, you decide not to tell them the answer right away. You've already answered. You've already decided whether you're going to do that or not. But for some reason, you don't. Because maybe they need to wait a little bit. Maybe it's not time for them to hear the answer. Maybe it's not time for them to get that answer. But you've already decided what you're going to do in that situation. In the beginning part of this chapter, Luke chapter 1, in verse 13, it said, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.'" You know, they probably, by that time, they probably gave up praying for a child. They probably gave up praying for a child a long time ago. And yet God granted their prayer. God granted their prayer probably years earlier. And now he was going to give it. And where in Scripture did we see this? Well, there's all sorts of things going on that we're not aware of. Over in Daniel chapter 10. If you look over there in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Daniel 10:12. "Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia.'" So Daniel prayed. God answered his prayer immediately. But it took 3 weeks for the answer to get to Daniel. There were things going on that Daniel had no idea about. He had prayed. He was waiting for God to answer. He didn't know that there was a spiritual battle going on in the spiritual realm, that Satan had come to stop the angel Gabriel from bringing the answer to him, to his prayer. And if for 21 days Gabriel couldn't get to him, for 3 weeks from the time that Daniel prayed, he couldn't get to him to give him the answer from God. And God had to dispatch Michael, the archangel, to go and take Satan out of the way so that Gabriel could deliver the answer. God answered immediately, but the delivery of the answer was delayed. And in that case, it was spiritual warfare. In other cases, it may be because God wants you to have the answer, but he wants you to have it at another moment, at another time, when maybe you're more prepared for that answer, when the circumstances, situations are ready for that. So God answers later. You know, Mark 1:24 says, "Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So we're to pray in faith for God to answer our prayers. And what is faith? Well, we know that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is the best description and definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we pray believing, trusting that God is going to answer our prayer. And then we wait for him to give that answer. And his word demonstrates that he answers immediately, but sometimes later. So God answers later. But you know what? Secondly, God answers better. God answers later, but God also answers better. Somebody once wrote that God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. Do you hear that? God always gives the best to those who will leave the choice with Him. And why is that? Because His choice is always the best choice. His plan is always the best. Our best understanding of a situation falls short. But God's plan is always perfect. And so if we trust Him in the situation, and we come to the place where we are ready, and we will accept whatever His answer is, we'll get the best for us in that situation. In fact, Psalm 34, verse 10, the second part of it, says, "Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Amen? We seek the Lord. He's going to give us what we need. He's going to give us the best to meet our need. Psalm 84, similar thing. In Psalm 84, the third part of verse 11, "No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." So we need to trust Him in faith, and we need to seek to live a life that's pleasing to Him. He promises to meet our needs, and He'll give us the best thing. But let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? And if we really believe that, why is it that we complain when He withholds something from us? If we really believe that God gives us the best when we trust Him, why is it that we don't get what we want? We complain. See, Zechariah and Elizabeth, all they wanted was a child. They just wanted a child. They didn't know that God was planning something else than just a child. Why did the answer come later?
Because He was the
pre-runner. He had something He was planning. God had in His eternal plan of the ages a specific time when Jesus was going to be born, and He had a specific time that the forerunner, the one who was going to announce Him, was going to be born. What they didn't know was that the child that they were praying for was going to be the very one who was going to announce the coming of the Messiah. They just wanted a child. They wanted to have a child in their lives. They wanted to have the blessing of having a child in their lives. And Zechariah was getting old. And so was Elizabeth. And she had been barren up to that point. They just wanted a child. God answered their prayer. He's going to give them a child. But there was a delay in when the child would come. Because God had His plan. And it was going to fit into His plan. Not necessarily their plan. God answers better. God gave them, He gave them better than they could even have imagined. In Matthew 11, in verse 11, Jesus says, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." Wow. They got much more than they ever imagined that they'd be getting. So God answers better. When we trust Him and when we leave it with Him, He gives us better. So God answers later. God answers better. And then number three, God answers supernaturally. He waited until they were way past childbearing. And why did He do that? For His own glory. For His own glory. For His plan. Way, way past childbearing. God answers supernaturally. Pastor Ron Dunn, he said these, I love this quote. Pastor Ron Dunn said, whatever I am praying about, on its way to better, it may drop by worse for a visit. Whatever I'm praying about, on its way to better, it may drop by worse for a visit. Sometimes you pray And it seems like exactly the opposite of what you're praying about. You're praying about a situation and it gets worse. You're saying, God, did you hear me right? Did you hear what that's not what I was praying for, God. God, you and I got to get on the same page here. God says, no. My page is the only page, and you need to get on my page. And you need to realize that the end of this is going to be something even better than you could imagine. So sometimes, on its way to better, it drops off at worse for a visit. And then, guess what? Satan attacks in order to discourage. I mean, turn over to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. You know, Satan attacks in order to discourage. I mean, look at Abraham and Sarah. Another couple who were getting old. And she was barren, couldn't have any children. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." And then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And then if you turn over to chapter 17, and verse 17, it says this. And then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" He was 100 years old and she was 90. So they didn't believe God when he told them that a child would come. But you know what? God enjoys the impossible. God enjoys the impossible. And that's why when a situation presents itself and it seems like, man, we need something beyond our resource, something beyond our strength, something beyond our cleverness, sometimes the situation gets worse before it gets taken care of. Because God enjoys the impossible. And he enjoys the impossible because when he finally moves his hand and takes care of that situation, everybody knows that he's the one that did it. And he gets glorified. And so God answers supernaturally. He answers later. He answers better. He answers supernaturally. And then number four, God answers for his glory. He answers for his glory. He always takes the route in answering our prayers that brings him the greatest glory. In fact, take a look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 verse 13. Romans 4:13, still talking about Abraham. "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Once again, when childbearing was not possible, then God moved. And why did he do it? He did it for his glory. He did it so that it wasn't because, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these things. It wasn't because Abraham and Sarah went to get some fertility counsel. It wasn't because they went to a bunch of physicians to figure out what was wrong with them and then get some treatment in order to make it happen. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But it wasn't because of that. It was because they believed God. And God gave them a promise, and they believed that God gave them the promise, and if it was God who gave them the promise, he was able to fulfill it. And they waited 25 years. 25 years. Abraham was 75 years old when the promise of a son was given to him. And Sarah was a really good looking, 65-year-old? She was so good looking that when they traveled through Egypt, the king of Egypt wanted to take her as his wife when he saw her. But God waited 25 years after that. 25 years. But they believed that God would take care of it. And why did God wait 25 years? So that he would be glorified. He gave the promise and he fulfilled it. And he received the glory. So God answers for his glory. He answers later. He answers better. He answers supernaturally. He answers for his glory. And then number 5, God answers for his purposes. He answered, Zechariah and Elizabeth's son participated in God's plan. He was the one who announced the coming of the Messiah. He's the one that went before Jesus to let the people know and get the people ready for the message of salvation. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So God answers for his purpose. And then finally, number 6, God answers according to his will. That's the one that always gets us. God answers according to his will. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. We worry about all kinds of stuff, don't we? Actually, I tell you this on a lot of occasions, we worry about the stuff that we have no control over. Why do we worry about that stuff? Because if we could do something about it, we would. We wouldn't be worrying. So we worry about the stuff that we have no control over. And God, and that is exactly the opposite of what God wants us to do. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We worry about a whole lot of stuff, but God promised in verse 19 of Philippians 4 that He's going to take care of all of our need, didn't He? And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We worry about so many things, and yet God promised that He'll take care of our need. How do you know? How do you know when you're praying whether or not it's according to His will? How do you know? You know what? Sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes you're just not sure. Sometimes you just don't have all the information that you need to know whether it's according to His will. You may know in principle that God is a God who heals. And so you pray in faith asking for healing in a situation. But we don't know. We don't know exactly whether God in His plan is going to heal. We know He's a God who heals. And so we need to pray in faith, asking Him to do that, trusting Him, believing that He will. And you know, when we find ourselves in that situation, and we struggle with a situation and a circumstance in our life, and we want God to do something, guess whose company we find ourselves in? In the company of Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus in His humanity, in the garden of Gethsemane, in John chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, as he prayed this way. John 12, 27, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Father, glorify your name. That was ultimately what Jesus wanted in His life, that the Father would be glorified. And so he wanted whatever the Father wanted. But in His humanity, He struggled. He struggled. In Luke 22 and verse 42, it's recorded that Jesus prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In our humanness, we would like things to be a certain way. And it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with the cup being taken away from Jesus, except that wasn't God's plan. And so as long as the cup being taken away from Jesus, that he didn't have to endure what was coming would be within God's will, then it would have been okay for that cup to pass by. But that wasn't God's will, was it? God's will was that He would go to the cross, that He would take all sin upon Himself, that the Father would turn his face away from Him for that time, and that He would suffer physically much before that moment. And so while Jesus desired that He wouldn't have to go that route, He left that with the Father to be obedient to the Father. So God answers according to His will. And His will isn't always line up with what our human will is. And so while we pray in faith, trusting Him to the best that we understand, the way He's revealed Himself in His Word and in the circumstance and the situation, we need to also step back and say, Father, but if this isn't your will, then I'm ready to accept what your will is. We need to pray in faith. We need to expect God to answer, and yet we need to wait for Him to act in His sovereignty.